Tonight we're picking up on part 25, and this is out of the book of Proverbs, out of Proverbs 8. We're talking about the wisdom of Solomon, and we're finishing up the chapter here. But we're talking about the value of listening to wisdom, amen? And it's kind of interesting that the end of that, it ends on that. So it was kind of cool when I put that in here. But the value of listening, and we've gone through those several times, and if you want to go back, you can go back and listen to the previous teachings, and I do have them broken up based on chapters as well. Amen. So they're available to you. But this last part here in chapter 8 is Proverbs 8, 32 through 36. And the whole thing is based on if you listen to wisdom, if we will listen to wisdom, we will be blessed. Now, think about that for a second. I want you to kind of think about that in your mind for a second. If I listen to wisdom, I will be blessed. And this is exactly what wisdom says in verse 32 and on through to 36. It says, now therefore, listen to me. This is wisdom talking. Listen to me. And the word listen there is the word shaman. It means to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention, obedience. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to hear, to listen to, or to obey. So when we're talking about listening, we're talking about not just hearing with the ears, we're talking about giving our attention to it. We're also talking about being obedient to it. In other words, putting to work what wisdom shows us. Amen. And it says, now listen to me, children. This is wisdom talking. For blessed are those who keep my ways. So if we listen to wisdom and we keep our ways, we will be blessed. Now see, that's the whole thing about that word listen. Okay, because that it ties into the next phrase, for blessed are those who keep my ways. And the word keep there is the word shamar, which is kind of a variation of the word shema. And it means to guard, to protect, and to attend to. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to keep, to guard, to observe, to give heed. So if we listen with obedience and attention and we give heed to wisdom, then we will be blessed. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And the word blessed there is the word asher, and it means happiness, or how happy. And Brown Drivers Briggs agrees with that. They say happiness or blessedness. So blessed are those who keep my ways, all right? And of course, the word ways here is the word derech, and it means a road is trodden, figuratively a course of life or a mode of action. Now, what wisdom is telling us here is that if we keep and observe and obey and follow, you know, we pay attention to and we follow her ways, then we will be blessed. And her ways, that strict definition of that, you know, it means a road is trod. In other words, wisdom has laid a path out for us to walk. And so figuratively, it carries that meaning of a course of life or a mode of action. If we follow the course of life of wisdom or the mode of action of wisdom, then we will always be blessed. God will bless us. Wisdom itself brings blessing on our heads if we do that. Amen. We will be blessed. Verse 33 goes on to say, hear instruction and be wise. All right, so this is another part. Remember I told you at the very beginning from Proverbs 1 all the way so far, instruction is the first step in gaining wisdom, in walking in wisdom. And of course, that word instruction goes back to that word musar, which means properly, it means chastisement. Figuratively, it means reproof. And reproof means to be, the word means to be shown to be in the wrong, to be convinced of that you're in the wrong. That's what the word reproof means, to be shown that you're in the wrong, that you're wrong in what you're doing. And then it goes on to say, figuratively means reproof, warning, or instruction. So it could be anywhere from, you know, that showing to be in the wrong, we're being warned, you know, this is, don't do this, don't follow this path, you know, don't go this way. Or wisdom is giving us some direct instruction, some direct teaching. And as wisdom gives us that direct teaching, you know, it says it'll make you wise. It says hear instruction and be wise. And that's what you got to get out of this right away. Is if you listen to correction from the Word of God, from wisdom, all right, I'm putting it over on the Word of God, but from the wisdom of God, if you hear that correction from the wisdom of God, you will be immediately considered wise. People that hear correction, that they respond to instruction, they respond to warning, they respond to being shown that they're in the wrong. People that hear that and listen to it are automatically, they're already starting off as being considered wise. You're already being considered wise. So if we just go about making corrections in our lives from the things that we shouldn't be doing to the things we should be doing, then we're already being wise. If we're being warned off something and we step away from it and go by it, then we're being wise. If we listen to some kind of instruction from wisdom, some form of training or development or something that wisdom is bringing us, and especially like you can take this and really apply this in the area of love. I mean, love in and of itself is like a major correction. It's a major instruction of life. 1 Corinthians 13, I just read it, and it gets into love is patient, love is kind. It goes all down the list of what love is. If we just start walking that path of love, we're already in love. And so if we follow the instruction, we're already being considered wise. Okay, we're already being considered wise. Amen? So wisdom says, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. And of course, the word disdain there, it literally means to let it alone or avoid it. Do not avoid instruction. You know, do not avoid correction. Do not neglect correction. Do not leave it alone. When you get corrected, you take it to heart and receive it. Now, I'm talking about as from God. There's a lot of times, you know, with families and brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, friends and so on, sometimes we will correct one another. And in consideration, we should listen. But we need to understand that not everybody's seeing everything the same way. They may be seeing something a particular way. And you are seeing something another way that's God. And if God says that's correction, then you need to listen to what's being told you to do. Now, sometimes people try to tell you to do things that's not God. That's not really from God. And so you're not obligated to listen to that. But the wisdom we're talking about is a wisdom that comes from God. And there's this immediate recognition. If you're really open to God and you love God and you're seeking to follow God and you're in the Word and you're doing your best to walk in the way of wisdom, when the wisdom of God shows up, you know it's God. You know that wisdom is coming from God. And so you can follow it without any hesitation whatsoever. Amen. But we need to be careful not to reject, not to avoid or neglect when we get corrected. When God corrects us and we know that's a correction that belongs to us, we need to pay attention to that. You know, we need to hear it and not just go, oh yeah, that's God correcting me, and then go about our way not doing anything about it. That's disdaining wisdom there. No, or disdaining instruction and correction. If we refuse to follow that, or if we fail to follow that, we're in that sense, we're disdaining wisdom. Amen. And then we're putting ourselves in a place that's contrary to what wisdom is and how wisdom walks. Just by avoiding correction, we can be putting ourselves in a position that's contrary to wisdom. We could be putting ourselves on a path that is not wisdom, that's not wise. Okay? And it says, hear instruction and be wise. So if we listen to correction, then we're wise. If we avoid it and you know, we neglect it, you know, we don't listen to it, then we're disdaining that wisdom. We're putting it down. We're treating it as common and not of God and not for us. And as a result, we're putting ourselves in contrariness to wisdom. We're setting ourselves on that other path. Amen. Verse 34 goes on to say, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Blessed is the man who listens to me. This is wisdom talking here. Wisdom is talking here. Blessed is the man who listens to me and watching daily at my gates. And the word watching there is the word shakad, and it means to be alert. It means to be sleepless, hence to be on the lookout. And then it goes on to say, watching daily at my gates. And the word daily means a day as warm hours, you know, whether literally sunrise to sunset or from one sunset to the next. My point in bringing this up is that we should be seeking wisdom daily. And that's what wisdom is calling us to do. Wisdom is calling us to seek it daily, to go after it daily. Go after wisdom, go after her daily. In other words, be paying attention on a daily basis. And where do you watch? You watch at the gates of wisdom. And then it goes on to say, waiting at the posts of my doors. All right? Waiting at the posts of my doors. And I'm going to stop here because God really inspired me with something, and I didn't really realize how much, you know, how much it was God when he gave it to me. But it hit me all of a sudden, the entrance of your word gives light. And so when I went and looked up that word, you know, looked up that scripture and found it, it's Psalms 119, 130. It says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And we're going to talk a lot about the simple. We're going to talk, that's a constant thing that comes up. The person who's simple, it's the word pethi, and it literally means silliness or stupid or foolish or, you know, or simple. That's Brown Driver's Briggs predominantly that defines it those three ways. But what I want you to understand is that this scripture in Psalms 119 confirms where you're watching daily. You know, at the entrance of your words. That word entrance there in Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. That entrance is the same, basically the same word in the Hebrew as the word door in verse 34. You know, waiting at the posts of my doors, petach, and then, or pethach rather. And then the entrance of your words is that the word entrance is the word pethach. And when you look it up, that word door, pethach, literally means an opening, whether literally or as in a door or a gate, but it can also mean an entrance way. So when you're watching daily at the gates of wisdom and that you're waiting at the posts of her doors, it's really talking about being at the entrance of his word, letting that word have entrance, letting. And when you think about this, the scripture, Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. And that means when the word of God is injected or interjected into a situation, it gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. But think about this, that word's coming through the doors. That word is that light is coming through the door of the word. The entrance of your word gives light. And when you're waiting at the door, you're waiting at the entrance, it really is you waiting at the word. That as you're spending time in the word on a daily basis, reading the word, meditating on it, studying it, that as you do that, you're actually allowing wisdom to have an opportunity to gain entrance into your life and bring you light through the word of God. Amen? And that's why I say you need to spend some time in the word on a daily basis. You know, it doesn't have to be hours at a time, but just read a few chapters or read your daily scriptures. You know, I think that you should have your daily scriptures. That's something you should always review, but also spend time just reading through the word. You know, like I start from, you know, Matthew chapter 1, and I read it all the way through Revelations 21 or 22, and then I start over again immediately and just read all the way through again. So I'm just constantly reading through the word. And so that gives me that variety. Plus, I spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. You know, I mean, more and more I'm starting to see some things coming from the Old Testament that are just amazing. And so as I'm studying the word, I'm offering wisdom that opportunity to shine light into my life, to shine light to me. That word bringing me light. You know, as I wait daily at the doorpost, as I wait at the gate for wisdom, as I seek God's direction and his revelation, as I do that, that word will give light to me. Amen. And then it gives understanding to the simple. So it doesn't matter how smart you are or how not smart you are. You know, even a foolish person, if they will set themselves to listen to wisdom, to let wisdom correct them, and then spend the time watching daily, you know, at the gates of wisdom and at the doors of wisdom, which is the word of God, if you'll do that, even a foolish person will begin to understand. And that word understanding, it gives understanding to the simple, the foolish, okay? And that word understanding is the word mind in the Hebrew. And it's literally that meaning of understanding that you gain that perception into and that understanding of. And of course, you're going to gain understanding of God. You're going to have a view into how things work spiritually and with God. And it's right there for you. But you have to have your heart set on looking for wisdom. You have to have your heart set for gaining that understanding, gaining that light coming to you from the Word. Amen? And from wisdom. And so that's really powerful. So I threw that in there and added that because it just really, it really, really made it clear to me that, you know, watching daily at her gates and at the posts of her doors, that's wisdom talking. And where are those gates? Where are those doors? They're the Word of God, obviously. They're obviously the Word of God. Amen. All of the Word of God, and inclusive of Proverbs. Amen. It could be Psalms as well. It could be, I mean, the Word has that power. The Word is life. You know, it's life to those who find it, and health or healing or medicine to all their flesh. So the Word is powerful, people. And as we watch daily, then we give an opportunity for wisdom to both instruct us in the sense of make corrections when we need to, but also give us instruction, give us a plan, give us direction to show us what our paths should be through things. All right? And that's what it does for us. And I mean, certainly when I'm reading the Word, I'm reading it to feed on it, but I'm also looking, I'm also there waiting if God's going to give me something that I need, you know, out of this, some wisdom, some insight, some enlightenment. I'm always looking for that enlightenment coming from God. Amen. Give me a second here. Now, as it goes on in verse 35, it says, "For whoever finds me," whoever, this is wisdom talking, "whoever finds me finds life." Okay, whoever finds wisdom finds life. Okay, and that word life is the word chi. And it means life on the level that probably that God lives. This is Old Testament, so it may carry a little bit of different significance, but it's still essentially the same as the word Zoe life. You know, life as it's meant to be, life on the level that God lives it, life on the level that we were intended to live it, you know, and that motion and that activity, that energy, that life that gives us that force, that movement that gets us up and gets us moving. That's what life does for us, man. And it'll do that for you. Amen. It'll help you get moving forward in your life. Amen. Now, "for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." And the word obtains there is the word puk, and it means to issue, to furnish. Causationally, or causatively, it means to secure. So if you find wisdom, not only do you find life, but you obtain, you secure favor from God. You gain favor from the Lord. All right, and the word favor there is the word ratzon in the Hebrew, and it means delight. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as pleasure, delight, favor, goodwill, and acceptance. So what better way to gain acceptance from God? What better way to gain goodwill from God and pleasure from God is, you know, as when we seek, you know, wisdom and find wisdom, as we go after wisdom and find it. And we take it to heart and we put it to work in our lives. We start the path, walking down that path of wisdom. Amen. And we gain favor from the Lord. So not only do we find life, we obtain favor. We obtain delight. We obtain God being on our side. He accepting us, his acceptance of us, you know, his favor and goodwill towards us. Amen. And verse 36 goes on a counter move here and says, "But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul." He who sins against me, which means to violate me, you know, to rebel or violate or miss the mark of wisdom. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And the word wrongs there is the word kamas, and it means to be violent. By implication, to maltreat, which I put some words in there to help us, to harm, damage, or abuse. You know, if we sin against what's wise, sin against wisdom, then we're doing harm and damage and abuse to our own soul. All right, we're damaging ourselves, and it's a violence. It's a violence that we're doing against ourselves. Brown Drivers Briggs confirms it: to wrong, to do violence to treat violently, to do wrongly. I mean, you know, maltreat, harm, damage, or abuse is it has an extreme sense to it. But not as extreme as Brown Drivers Briggs. When they say to wrong, to do violence to, you're doing violence to your soul. You're treating your soul violently, and you're doing wrongly to your soul. I mean, that's pretty intense when you think about it. Amen. And the word soul there is the word nefesh. And that means that which breathes, the breathing substance of a being, the soul, the inner being of a man, of man, soul, self, life, or person. That's from Brown Drivers Briggs. And so understand this now. Not only are you damaging your internal being, your soul, but you're also damaging your life. You're damaging your person. You know, you're damaging your sense of even breathing and living. All right. And then it goes on to say in verse 36, all those who hate me love death. So people who hate wisdom or love it less, don't care about wisdom, they love death. That's what Solomon is saying right here about wisdom. You know, and he's speaking from the point of view of wisdom. All those who hate me love death. That's intense. When we disdain wisdom, we're showing two things. One, that we don't care about our person. We don't care about the damage that we're doing to our being, our person, our life, ourselves, and our souls. We're showing that we don't care about the damage that we do to ourselves. You know, and that's why people in the world, they don't listen to wisdom, and they keep going off into the deeper parts of the flesh, and they continue on, and there's no wisdom, there's foolishness in what they're doing. And as they're doing it, they're coming to a point where they're so damaged that they look back and they go, I'm a thoroughly broken person, and I don't even know how I got here. Well, I can tell you how you got there. Real simple. You wouldn't listen to wisdom. You disdained it. You hated it. You know, you just ignored it and shut yourself off to it. And as a consequence, you wronged yourself. You did violence and damage to your being. And then, you know, in the process of that, you ended up in a state of ruin. Because that's what those who hate me love death. You know, that's where a person's going to end up. They're going to end up in that state of ruin. And, you know, never look at people from the outside. Never look at somebody from the outside. You know, that's a veneer. Most people are living, they're living a mask. They'll put on a mask in the morning, and that's the mask that they're putting on. And that's, you know, that's how they want people to see them. But what's really going on inside of them can be very, very dark. It can be very messed up. That's a better way of saying it. You know, it could be very twisted. It could be very, you know, they don't even know what they're doing. There could be so much confusion going on the inside of them. And they're always just in that place of trying to feel better, feel better, feel better. So they're giving themselves to things that they think will help them feel better. And it's just helping destroy them even more. That's why when somebody sins against wisdom, they're wronging their soul, but then they're also showing that they love death. They're loving that side of it and what it produces when they give themselves over to it. Amen? So wisdom is really, I mean, as we finish up chapter 8 right here, you got to understand, listening to wisdom, there's blessing. There's life, okay? You know, there's these good things that come to us. There's favor from God, all right? You know, there's these good things that come to us. But when we refuse to listen to what wisdom is telling us to do, which goes back to the word, what the word is telling us to do. Because when you look at what the word tells you to do, 99% of the time it's correcting you and telling you not to do the things that are destructive to you, that are going to be self-destructive and destructive to your family or destructive to people around you. That's what it's telling you. It's telling you how not to, you know, the word is trying to get you off of those things so that you can get on that right path and walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. Amen. And that's what God promises. All right. And so, you know, if we get frustrated at all of that, then we start shutting ourselves off to that instruction, that musar, that correction and that reproving. We shut ourselves off to that. And then we end up in that place where we're stuck with whatever we're stuck with. And, you know, we'll end up going to the world to try and feel better. And it's, you know, it's the consequences are immeasurable. You know, you wrong your own soul. You do damage and violence to your own being. All right. And then, you know, obviously you start going after things that are basically death. Amen. So, and I'm not wishing that on any of us here, obviously, but It's something that, as much as God loves us, you know, he still needs us to pay attention. He still needs us to listen. He needs us to correct who we were, to move away from and fully and thoroughly repent from who we were, to change from who we were. And wisdom is the key to that. Wisdom will get you changing, because wisdom will give you not only, you know, that correction and show you what you need to change, but wisdom will show you the walk and the path that you need to walk to live that life, that blessing, and that favor from God. I mean, it'll get you on the right path and get you moving in a very blessed way. All right? All right, praise God. So that was the end of chapter 8. Chapter 9, we're going to pick up and start on this tonight. We're going to talk about, chapter 9 talks about the way of wisdom. All right? And I kind of just, you know, I took that out of my Bible, you know, because it's the title of the chapter, and I just decided to go ahead and use it because it seemed to work. But from verse 1 to 6, let's read this. It says, wisdom has built her house. This is, you know, and this is the way of wisdom. Wisdom builds her house. All right? Wisdom builds. Wisdom just doesn't try to slap things together. Wisdom builds. All right? And then it says, wisdom has built her house. And that word built there is the word bana, and it means to build. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to build, rebuild. So it implies you can rebuild your house. And, you know, if you've screwed your house up, you can rebuild it. It also defined, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to establish or cause to continue. You could have something going, and then wisdom will show you how to keep it going. Wisdom builds it. And wisdom just doesn't initiate something, but wisdom shows you how to establish it, rebuild it if it's necessary, and then keep it continuing on so that you're not losing anything in the process of life, in the process of time, okay? It goes on to say, she has hewn out her seven pillars. And the word hewn out there is the word katsab, and it means to cut or carve, whether wood, stone, or other material. By implication, to hew, split, square, quarry, or engrave. Now, quarrying stone is, you know, they cut big chunks and then they clean it up, flatten it, and they put edges on it and do whatever they got to do. And then there's engraving. You're building a design into something, okay? You're squaring it up. You're splitting something that needs to be in multiple pieces, all right? She has hewn out her seven pillars. And the word, this is interesting now, the word for pillars is the word amud, and it means a column is standing, also a stand, a platform. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as pillar or column. Now, let me just put it this way, all right? She has hewn out her seven pillars, and those pillars are what builds the house of wisdom. There's seven pillars involved in that. Now, I've taught on this before, and I gave you guys some things that I thought were really, you know, what those seven pillars were. I'm going to probably go back and dig those up and maybe reteach it sometime in the future. But I really got hit with the fact that when you come back up here to what I taught on last week, was that the seven things that we can immediately learn from wisdom, that wisdom might have been referring back to these seven pillars. One, wisdom prepares. Wisdom sets boundaries. Three, wisdom establishes. Four, wisdom strengthens. Five, wisdom assigns. Six, wisdom marks out. Seven, wisdom becomes skilled. All right? Wisdom improves or increases her skill. All right? And so when you look at that, it could be referring to those seven things, because when you look at them, there's seven of them. All right? There's seven total of these. All right? So, and you need to understand that when you look at this last one, when it says in verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 8, it says, then I was beside him, God, as a master craftsman. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And so you need to recognize that wisdom even went through a process of perfecting her skill, perfecting her abilities, you know, as being wise and knowing what to do and being able to show and work with God, be the proper sounding board for God. And if God used wisdom as a sounding board, how much more should we be using wisdom as a sounding board? Amen? And that's important. So I'm not sure 100% if that's it. There might be some seven other things, because there's some things in the book of Proverbs that really, you know, that are really powerful and important principles of wisdom. All right, but I'll go back and we'll look at them at some other time. But I want you to understand that she takes the time to set up her house. She builds it. You know, she doesn't haphazardly throw it together. She thinks it through. She hews it out. In other words, she takes the time to carve it out, to cut it out, to do everything she needs to do to make it as solid and strong and supporting as possible. All right? Goes on to say in verse 2 in Proverbs 9, she has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Verse 4, and then she cries out, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And then as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And then in verse 6, she goes on to say, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now, I put this all together instead of splitting this up. I put this all together because wisdom does everything. Everything that wisdom has done. And listen to me very carefully. Remember when wisdom talks about finding joy in the sons of men, that she rejoiced in the sons of men, that the us, mankind, that God created, she finds joy in the sons of men. And I really believe that as God did everything that he did, you know, in creating the heavens and the earth, creating man, creating Eve for man, the whole process of what he did, of course, the fall screws it all up, messes it all up, but God still did it right in the first place. You know, there's no accounting for choices. I mean, that's a choice, all right? And that choice turned us down another path. But wisdom found joy in the sons of man. And so wisdom, if you think about her house, her seven pillars, look what she's doing. I've hewn out my seven pillars. I've slaughtered my meat. I've mixed my wine. I've also furnished my table. I have sent out the maidens. What did she send them out to do? To cry out from the highest places of the city to tell the simple to let him turn in here. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. So she's done all of this. Everything that wisdom has done has been done for the sake of us bringing us into her house and housing us within her seven pillars, within her house, and feeding us from her table, giving us to eat of her wisdom, you know, giving us to drink, you know, from her promises and from her covenant, giving us that opportunity to share, you know, for her to share with us what she's learned while working with God and creating the heavens and the earth. That's what she's done. And so she's cried out. Now, I'm making a point to really get into this, and I probably won't get there tonight. I doubt I will. But, you know, later on in this chapter, it talks about the clamorous woman. And you're gonna see some similarities here, but with different results. And wisdom's promise is, you know, he who lacks understanding. Now, the word simple there again is that word pethi, which means silly or seducible. Brown Drivers Briggs again defines it as simple, foolish, or open-minded. All right, so that's the word pethi. That's the literal meaning of it that I didn't fully get into up above. But here you see it clearly that it means silly and seducible. Seducible, that is the basis of pethi. The basis of being a fool or being simple is that you're seducible. Somebody can come along and talk you into doing something that will destroy your life, but it'll be to their absolute benefit and they'll be able to take full advantage of you and to your destruction. That's what being seducible is about, that you're easily gained by other people. You're easily taken advantage of. And so Brown Drivers Briggs kind of brings that in, simple, foolish, and open-minded. You know, people that are open-minded to anything, you know, they never can come to the knowledge of the truth because when they hear the truth, They're not satisfied with that. They want to know everything. It's like the Greeks seek wisdom and the Jews seek signs, okay? The Greeks, us, the Gentiles, are always seeking further insight into things. And some people won't make decisions because they're still looking for information. They want to know more before they make a decision. And there comes a point, and it's relatively quick, there comes a point that you know enough to make a decision. If you don't make the decision because you want to know more, you've made the decision against the thing that you gained knowledge of, or you gained the knowledge of truth about. And as a consequence, you will lose that. You will lose that truth. You'll lose that knowledge. So when it comes to, you know, being simple, it's not talking about somebody that's particularly stupid. It's talking about somebody who's seducible, who's naive and easily conned, easily brought into the fold, you know, of something that's devastating to them and to the advantage of somebody else. The only reason why somebody would want to seduce you is they want to take advantage of you. And they don't care one bit about what happens to you. They only care about what they're going to get out of you at that moment. So she goes on to say, you know, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. All right. So when you turn into wisdom, wisdom starts off correcting and showing what's, you know, what you're wrong about, and begins to give you instruction and begins to give you direction and begins to give you, you know, correction and reproof and showing you what's wrong and showing you what's right and telling you this is the path you ought to take. And so at that point, the simple person has this opportunity to say, okay, I'm listening and I'm going to follow this. The moment they do that, we learned in the end of up here in Proverbs 8, it says at that point, you know, that, you know, maybe I was confusing something with something else. But anyway, whoever, you know, if you listen to wisdom, wisdom will give you, here it is. I'm right, staring me in the face. Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when a simple person, that pethy person, comes walking in to the house of wisdom and begins to learn and grow, that all of a sudden, that simplicity is starting to fade because now that person is gaining that understanding. They're gaining understanding. They're recognizing the destructiveness of being seducible, being open-minded and foolish about things. All right? And so, you know, they start growing from there. And then she goes on to say here, as for him who lacks understanding, that word lack, kaser, means lacking, hence without. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as in need of, lacking, in want of. He who is in need of understanding, he who is, you know, lacking understanding or in want of understanding or without understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And see, that's a direct reference to the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus' body is the word. You know, it's eat the word. He said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to have life. And he was referring to the fact that his body was the word of God, that he physically was the word made flesh. And so it's metaphoric. You know, it's a metaphor. You know, eat my flesh means to eat my word, to come and eat the bread of life. Eat my word, okay? And then drink my wine, which is that covenant relationship with God, that promises. Jesus said, you know, this wine is the new covenant in my blood. That new contract, that new relationship with God that includes the blessings of Abraham and so on. Come eat my bread and drink my wine, the wine I have mixed. That's an invitation to us all. All of us could stand to go into the house of wisdom and dwell there and gain more wisdom and eat more of her bread and drink more of her wine. Amen. Her promises, her covenant, the relationship that she's offering to us in our connection to her. Amen. And of course it goes on to say, and the word understanding here is the word leb. You know, he who lacks understanding is the word leb, which means, doesn't mean bind. It's not the word bind. That means understanding. Here it's the word leb, which means the heart. You know, very widely for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. You know, so, you know, if you're lacking, you know, heart, you know, for things. She says, come in here, eat my bread and drink my wine. And if they will, if somebody who's lacking heart for the word of God, lacking heart, you know, for God and for wisdom and for things like that, if that person will turn and go in to the house of wisdom, into the word, and begin to hear and receive that wisdom from God and begin to get a hold of it, then it's going to, they're no longer going to lack that heart. They're going to begin to gain a heart for the things of God, gain a heart for wisdom, gain a heart for true understanding. Amen. And then in verse 6, she says, forsake foolishness and live. So, you know, there's that command to those that are going to go into her house to forsake. And Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to depart from, to leave behind, to leave or let alone. You know, depart from foolishness. You know, leave behind foolishness. Let it alone. And of course, foolishness is that word pethy. You know, being simple, being naive, being seducible. You know, forsake it. Let it go. Leave it behind. Stop being naive and seducible. Stop believing everything everybody says to you. You know, you got to stop believing. People want so much sometimes to be accepted. They want so much sometimes to be part of the in crowd that they will hear what they're saying. They will do whatever they say just to be part of it. And they're just being consumed as they're doing that. That's foolishness. That's being seducible. All right? That's being naive. And we're to forsake naivety. Amen? And live. Look at her. She says, forsake foolishness. Forsake that seducible, you know, naivety. And live. You know? And that's the word kaya. Again, to live, have life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live prosperously, live forever, be quickened, be restored to life or health. Forsake foolishness and be restored to life or health, to be quickened. Forsake foolishness and live prosperously. You know, forsake foolishness and have life and sustain your life. I mean, this is pretty awesome when you look at it and break it down. And then she says, go in the way of understanding. And the word go there is the word ashar, which means to advance and make progress. You know, wisdom will show you how to make progress. And of course, the way, that word way there is the word derek, and it means a road is trodden, figuratively a course of life or a mode of action. I mean, you know, wisdom is telling you, forsake foolishness and live. Go in the path, the course of life and the mode of action of understanding. And that right there is the word bina, which is literally understanding. It's Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as understanding and discernment. Go in the way of understanding. In other words, if you spend some time in the house of wisdom, you eat her bread, drink her wine, you forsake foolishness. When you walk out, you will walk the path in the way, you will walk the path of understanding and discernment. You will understand what's going on around you. You will discern and cut into things. That's what understanding is about, is being able to cut into something and be able to get in there and dig out what's going on in the midst of that. You know, sometimes we're suffering in life. We don't understand why. And you spend some time with wisdom, and wisdom will give you that ability of understanding to go out and cut into that and shred it apart and get rid of what's causing the problem for you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's crazy awesome when you think about it. Now, the way of wisdom, number two. Wisdom leaves the scoffer. Now, let me back up here for a second. This part here, you know, wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She's done all these things. Keep that in the back of your mind as we go along, okay? Because as you're going to see that you're going to see the power of it as we go. Amen. The value of it as we go. Now, verse 7 in chapter 9 says, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. All right. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Now, the word corrects there is the word yasar, which means to chastise, literally with blows, figuratively with words, hence to instruct. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word correct as to chasten, to discipline, to instruct, or to admonish, okay? And so You know, when you know anybody who knows what a scoffer is somebody who mocks. It comes from the word lutes, which means to make mouths at. You know, that's what it, there's the definition of it right under corrects. The word scoffer, lutes, to scorn or show contempt, to make mouths at. But Brown Drivers Briggs adds, that's kind of Strong's definition. Brown Drivers Briggs adds to that, to scorn. A scoffer scorns, and that means to show contempt, you know. And then it makes mouths at. It literally mocks something, you know, like, you ever seen kids mock their parents, like, you know, that kind of a thing? That's being a scoffer. That's being a scorner, somebody who's showing contempt to you, to make mouths at, to talk arrogantly, and to boast. So wisdom, it says, he who corrects, now before I get into wisdom, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. So when you try to correct somebody who's doing that, that person's going to cause you shame. And the word shame there is the word kalon, and Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as shame, disgrace, or dishonor. All right? In other words, the scoffer is going to get back at you some way or another to mock you and humiliate you. All right? And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. He who rebukes a wicked man, the word rebukes there is the word yakak, or I think that's how it's pronounced. To be right, in other words, you're showing, you know, that you're correcting something, all right? Reciprocally, to argue, causationally, to decide, justify, or convict. In other words, he who rebukes a wicked man, who convicts a wicked man, or who, you know, shows a decision against the wicked man, who argues with a wicked man, you know, who corrects a wicked man. And that word wicked man there, the word man is in italics, which means it's not literally in the Hebrew. It's the word wicked, which references a wicked person, is the word rasha. And it means morally wrong, or concretely, an actively bad person. So anybody who rebukes or tries to correct or sets, you know, to set straight somebody who's an actively bad person, they only harm themselves. And the word harms there is the word ma'um, which means puts a blemish, whether physical or morally, on themselves. In other words, that person is going to do something to that person to cause a blemish on them, whether it's lashing out physically or lashing out morally against them. All right? So that's a piece of wisdom right there. That's a piece of wisdom. Listen to me. That's a piece of wisdom. You know somebody who's a mocker, don't correct them. Don't waste your time on them. You're only going to get shame for yourself. You know somebody who's actively a bad person, don't bother trying to straighten them out. Don't argue with them. Don't try to convict them. Leave them alone. This is wisdom talking, not Pastor Bill. Verse 8 goes on to say, do not correct a scoffer. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Lest he hate you. You rebuke a scoffer, they're going to hate you. You know? They'll just hate you. Now, it goes on to say, rebuke a wise man. You know, and that word wise man, there is a word kakam, and it means wise. That is intelligent, skillful, and artful. You know, which, you know, a person who's intelligent, they're skillful, they're aware, they're artful. I mean, there have been many times when I was, you know, in the glazing trades, being skilled in what I was doing, and I would have another journeyman come along and say, hey, watch out for that. You know, you're about to mess this up. And I would look at it and go, oh, shoot, you're right, you know. I mean, and pull back and stop. I mean, there have been a few times where, you know, somebody, you know, I'd be, it's called grinding a mirror, which is putting an edge on the edge of the mirror, because when we get mirrors and stuff like that, they're just raw. In other words, they're just sharp as a razor. And if you don't handle them right, you get sliced. Well, you can't put a mirror up like that in somebody's home. You got to put a finish on the edge so that it's not going to harm anybody if they slide their fingers across it, okay? And so you'd be doing that. And sometimes a person will come up and say, hey, you know, you need to do this differently here, because you need to spray some oil on this because you're chipping the glass up too much. You know, that's them coming in and correcting you and showing that you're off. You know, they're saying, look, don't do this. You know, they're not arguing with you per se, but they're correcting you. and they're making a correction on what you're doing. And, you know, if you're wise, you listen to that. You say, oh, my gosh, I all right. And then you take some oil and you spray it down on the grinder belt. And then you go to work again and it all comes out real nice. You know, and so these are things that happen even amongst journeymen. You know, they get in a rush and they forget things. And then all of a sudden they could be doing something that's causing damage to the product. And so somebody comes along and sees it and says, hey, you got to fix that. And, you know, a wise man, you rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Why? Because, you know, when they would correct me, they're saving me a bunch of extra work and maybe even money if I can't use that mirror because it's now bad. And so, you know, you're thankful about those kinds of things. You know, you're appreciative of the person who's showing you. You know, I mean, it may not, you know, it's cutting into your work, you're in the mode and everything else, but when you back up and you stop and you look and you think about it, you're like, you know, that's right. You know, and you go and you correct it, you make it right. And then you get to work and it all comes out the way it's supposed to come out, you know. And so rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. You know, you show correction to a wise man and he'll love you. You know, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. You know, and I put that in there because it's the same actual word, you know, kind of the same word. Kakam, and in this case in kakam where it says wiser, they're slightly different. But in the case of wiser, it means to be wise in mind, word, or act. You know, I mean, that person will be wiser. They'll become even smarter in what they're doing. Amen? And he'll still be wiser. Teach a just man. You know, and the word teach there is the word yada, which means to know properly, to ascertain by seeing causationally. It's instruction. You give instruction. You show something to a just man, to teach a just man, and he will take that and use it to increase his learning. I mean, that's why when you're at work, people, and somebody comes along and instructs you, you know, if they're doing it to be helpful to you, which they're probably doing that, I mean, you know, they want you to do the job correctly, and it works for them, it works for the company, but it also works for you because it makes you in the know of what, you know, the proper, you know, mode ought to be here. And so, you know, if you teach a just man, you instruct them, you know, he will increase in learning. And that word increase there literally means yes, it's the word yasaf, and it means to add or increase, to do again. I mean, he'll follow that pattern. If he learns something that's helpful, that's beneficial, he'll learn that pattern. He'll take it and learn from it and use it over and over again. Amen? And he'll increase in learning. And that word learning means teaching or learning or insight. In other words, you give somebody some insight and they learn from that. They'll take it and put it to work. But it's only the just man that's going to do that. It's only the wise man that's going to do that. If you have a scoffer or an actively bad person, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. It's the wise people. It's the just people that are smart that are going to learn. And so the word just there is the word tzaddik. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as just, lawful, and righteous. So that's typically the word we use for righteous in the Old Testament. So they're a person who's lawful, the opposite of a scoffer, you know, the opposite of a wicked man, the very opposite of the wicked man is a just man, you know, and a wise man is the opposite of the scoffer, the one who mocks and shows, you know, contempt and disdain towards things. You know, a wise man doesn't, you know, they have respect. And then you see that as a result, there that process, you know, if you're wise, you'll be wiser. If you're a just person, you'll increase in your learning. You'll add to your skill set, your knowledge and skill. Your knowledge is your skill set. Part of what knowledge does is gives you a skill set. And as you take what you learn and put it into practice and you get good at doing it, that becomes a physical skill out of that knowledge skill. And then you become valuable in that. Amen? You become valuable in that. Now, wisdom is going to tell you, don't waste your time on a scoffer. Don't waste your time on an actively bad person, you know, on a wicked man. Because that wicked man and that scoffer, the one that shows contempt and disdain, the one that is hateful and bad and quick to do evil. You know, the part of the meaning of that word kind of carries with it somebody that's a criminal, you know. I mean, you know, they're willing to break laws. They're willing to do whatever to get their way. Don't even mess with them. Let them alone, okay? And you'll see in the next section why that's the case, all right? Hallelujah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and stop here because I don't want to pick up this next section and then not finish it. So we'll stop here for tonight. Amen.